Well, welcome everyone once again to Beyond the Playbook. Now, this is the part where I just sit down and call two great guys to share their ideas with me. We talk about every great thing we've gone through. And today we decided to turn it up one level further. We're bringing someone who is there. He's been out there. Love him, some hate him, but he's very influential. That we cannot deny. And I'm talking about Kevin Ekerete, who's to my left this time. We're trying to slowly, because he's claiming a portion of this show, so I'm moving him even further away. Today we've got Pooja. I'm just going to stay at Pooja. I'm not going to call. Do you still go by your full names? Or Pooja is just what you go by now?
Pooja, it's good.
You don't call your name again. When last did anybody call your name to you?
Very well, I go back home.
So nobody has called your name again to you? Nobody has called you. Can I call your name?
Yeah, of course you can.
Sulaimon Adebayo. Nobody has called your name. Ah, that's a bad thing, though. Where you don't make up for this life, that nobody calls your name to you anymore.
Maybe you want to send me something.
No. Your account is still Pooja. It's not Pooja, it's Adebayo Sulaimon.
There's a Pooja account.
There's a Pooja account.
There must be a Pooja account. Huh? Eh? Pooja media account.
My God, I have to be big in this life. Anyway, we've got someone right here who certainly knows his stuff. He's done it. He's been there. He's seen it everywhere. Last week we had a guest, right? Kelvin and I spoke to someone yesterday, last week, about betting. So I'm going to just summarize it by asking you two questions. What's the most money you've made from betting? And what's the most money you've lost from betting?
Most money from betting, I think it was 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Straight wins a few days before the election.
Ooh. You bet on the election.
You bet on the election results.
I think 18 straight wins of over 100 odds.
Ooh.
So I won around 8 million or so. Yeah.
8 million.
But it was...
I should start betting. I swear out.
Of course, I split, you know, you have to... I played in that one. And
yeah.
And everything went. So from the original to the edits... So everything together amounted to like 8 million.
So for Pooja, there was a time I wanted to, actually when I ventured into betting, I picked one of the bets on your platform, on your X platform, and I lost. Bro, pay me my money.
He sent you a message. When you win, did you ever give him any money?
But I didn't win. I never won.
Yeah, that's the point. So is there any one that you've lost? What's the biggest you've lost?
Okay, so I always, you know, maybe an advocate of responsible betting. So for me, more than, I think for on a particular bet, I think it's 2 or 3 odd, I've lost like 150, 200K.
That's the most you've lost?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, this is gross.
No, because I paid about responsible betting. If you see my slip, I always put amounts that I want people to bet with.
Yeah.
So you cannot want to go and bet on your own, but I put a limit. So when you now upload, you see like 20K, 25K, and you can go lower or go above. But at that particular, because of the risk involved in that game, so I picked, I'll put amount of money I can afford to lose.
When was the last time you put money on Arsenal?
Yesterday.
And you came through?
Of course,
100%. Wow.
That's what we're talking about.
When I saw the script today, I knew that my producer was on warm high. Because Arsenal was the first thing he put forward. And one of the things he mentioned was boring football. Hate them or love them, or was it? Why Arsenal the most hated team? Or Arsenal, I can't remember, something about Arsenal. And I was confused. Do you have to have a style of football to play? Like, must your football be entertaining? Must it be universally accepted? Can't you just play? Is the whole idea of playing football is to win, right? How you win, does it matter?
100% does it. So for someone like me that comes from Jose Mourinho school of thought.
Mm.
You know that I like any kind of football. I like any kind of football. Just go there and get results for me. I don't care whether it's sexy. I don't care if it's expansive. I don't care if it's... Just go and win. And I think, you know, for Arsenal, they've been doing this, you know, good football, possession football for so long.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't cut it. They've not won anything tangible. Maybe the FA Cup. But, okay, if this particular template... Of philosophy is going to win you trophies, beat teams. I don't think anybody, because I've been fighting people everywhere on social media, that there's no constitution for football. FIFA doesn't give us a guideline, okay, go out today, we'll go and play. Against Atletico Madrid, they came all out, they defeated them. Of course, against Man City, they believe they are more offensive player than them, or more possession because of Pep. They play compact football. So any game you feel like, this is a philosophy you have to use. Ugly, sexy, brilliant, handsome, baba. Get the 3 points, get the result for me.
Well, last night win the Premier League or the Champions League this year. This one you're saying wins.
Yeah, of course, you know. Well.
Oh, well.
Answer now.
You know, they always start very good. But I think now they have one of the quotes complete scored in England and the world, because right now they have Odegaard injured, Nonny Madueke injured, they have
Havertz injured,
they have Gabriel Jesus injured. So these players are injured, but they are still very formidable. You know, against Atletico Madrid, they most should be Mendy, Wanery was in, they removed them, Gabriel, so they have a lot of backup, and that's what they've been missing, you know, in subsequent seasons. So hopefully, if they, you know,
because one is hopefully, Kevin, which one be hopefully?
It's still hopefully now.
No, because it's still 8-9 games to the start of season.
Yeah.
So based on that, probability can say, okay, they can go all out. But they still have like 30 games to go.
No, but the bookmakers are putting Arsenal as a team to win the group stage of the Champions League, right? Yeah. Even to win the Champions League, they're top of the list. Yeah. The Premier League, the bookmakers are putting them at the summit, ahead of Liverpool.
So this is how it works for bookmakers. It works by time. Now, based on what has happened in the first few months of the season, Arsenal, of course, are clear favourite to win the Champions League and the Premier League. When it gets to the tick time in December, they will, of course, you see the bookmakers coming with points. It's just like the Ballon d'Or. When you score a lot of goals, they say, okay, Mbappe is leading now. Okay, it's Havertz, it's Haaland, or maybe it's Lewandowski, or maybe it's Harry Kane. But when it gets closer, it's not started, you know,
changing.
But of course, right now, with what I've seen with the squad depth, I think Arsenal can go all the way and win the Champions League and the Premier League.
You know, when I saw the victory for Arsenal in the game against Atletico Madrid, there were loads of positives. 4-0, it's a big result, Atletico. But I remember Atletico don't travel well. I think this season, maybe only...
They've not won at all away from home.
I think maybe... I shadow they've struggled. Yeah. Frankfurt was at home. They beat Frankfurt. They beat Real Madrid at home.
Yeah.
One. Two, Arsenal resorted to their old system of scoring from set piece, which is what opened this goal scoring for them. Is there a media bias against Arsenal? It seems like as if every time they talk about Arsenal, they're just winning now. It's not just one win or two win. Let's wait for end of season. Yeah. Let's see what they will win. What's your own take to this? Is the media being biased? Or are the media reporting based on what we've known? 3 seconds, 1, 2, 3. You got to a quarterfinal, you got to semifinal. That last thing that Arsenal needs, they never seem to have it. Are you blaming the media or are you blaming Arsenal that's carried us to this point?
Well, I think what most pundits or most media want from Arsenal is, you know, Arsenal is good for the news. You know,
every time. Even when they're not doing well, they are good for the news.
And when they're not doing something that you expect them to do, you feel like, you know, they are not doing well. You know, if you look at Troy Deeney, you know, he come out to say they are babies, you know, they are bullies, you can bully Arsenal. But now that you can't bully them, it doesn't make the news good anymore. You talk about Arsenal, you know, scoring free kicks, scoring, you know, corner kicks. They don't do that before. Now they are doing it. Someone even saying, you know, I think sports legend saying it look boring doing throwing. What is the essence of doing long throws? So those are the things Arsenal have not been doing. And because of now they are now sitting to a perfect, in a way, of winning games and getting results. So many fans, so many media guys who are other fans don't like how they are performing. Because if you look at, they won a game against Atletico Madrid and people are still saying it was a poor game. How is it poor?
Your striker did not score early.
Well, some of them said
Jokeres scored late. Those two goals, Jokeres scored.
Those goals were not good goals.
They're not good
goals.
They were
not bangers.
They were scrappy goals.
Used one. Used almost crushed to get one inside.
Because if you remove those two goals from the four Arsenal scored, Arsenal will still win.
But do you want a Puskás goal every game?
Wait, from Jokeres, yes. Because look. Let me make Voldemari has been scoring goals. Who again?
Cool goals too.
Rashford has been scoring goals. Irish Jokeres, is against Leeds.
The problem about Arsenal is simple. You know, I think for the past 4 or 5 years under Arteta, they've not played for a striker. Martinelli always cutting.
Yeah.
Saka.
Even yesterday, you know, he continues to cut in. Talking about Saka, he was left on the pitch. Maybe he's going to get his own goal, but he wasn't because, of course, you know, lock the default for him, but he was cutting back and trying to cut him. So for Jokeres now, for that template, for Arsenal template, he has to struggle to get chances. He has to fight for his chances. The only time they've actually used the striker was last season for Havertz. And Havertz was not playing as
an Arsenal striker.
He's
a central forward. So now they have to adapt, you know, with the kind of striker they have now, creating chances. And if you look at him sometimes too, he will leave the, you know, the position of his and, you know, come
drift
out to
a bit to the other side.
Come out to us. So I think for him, getting all these crappy goals is good because you don't want to go on a drought. You know, like what Isak and goals.
Isak is going through it too. I feel for Isak because I feel for Isak.
Because if you look at it, if you look at the Liverpool side too, you have someone who have scored a lot of goals for you in Salah. He will not give the balls to Isak. So Isak.
Same thing with Gakpo.
Yeah, or Ekitike. Gakpo will never. Yeah, he has more goals than any Liverpool player in that team. Ekitike will struggle or will fight for his own chance as well. So Isak has come from where he has been spoon fed
every time. Yeah.
But now you're coming to a side where there's a Salah who wants to be the highest goal scorer for the team and even in the Premier League. So you have to adapt and look at the chances he had against. Is it Chelsea?
Yeah.
It wasn't the chance.
Was it Chelsea? No, against Man United.
It wasn't the chances Isak always opens to while at Newcastle. So for those kind of team, those CF have to struggle and fight for their chances. Now, but of course they will adapt.
I want to be very careful, right, when I say this. And it's not in my script. But did Arteta also, is Arteta taking a leaf of Pep's playbook where he's shunning players from the African scene? Players who would not affect his push, because in December there's the AFCON. Yeah. Arsenal's last player who would have played at the AFCON.
It's Partey.
Partey, and Partey has been shipped off. So this Arsenal squad, nothing will change going into the AFCON one. Liverpool, you already mentioned, Salah is going to AFCON.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of other players are going to AFCON. But this Arsenal team, nobody's going to AFCON. None of their starting players are going to AFCON.
Well,
is it deliberate or is it just mere coincidence?
I think it's coincident in terms of the profile of players he needs in his team. Maybe last summer when he wanted, you know, Arsenal want to get players. I don't think you want to set out and say this player is good or because he's going for AFCON, I won't sign him. No, I don't think so. If that is the case, Liverpool will not give Salah, you know, an extension. If you like, oh, well, he don't compete in this.
Yeah, just let's go.
No, but when the arms forced, because the way Salah, the number Salah pulled out last season, that was mad now.
I know, but you know that before, we always have the AFCON in January.
It's still in January.
No.
January is December, January this time.
You still mentioned January.
No, it's
December 1st.
No. Because in December, you play 24th.
Yes.
26th.
You play Boxing Day.
Boxing Day.
You play 2nd.
Yes.
So that is key three matches. Before, you not miss all those winter games.
Yeah.
Before the other, you just go by January 8th.
Yeah.
All the tick and, you know, all the games.
The problem is maybe only the FA Cup.
Thank you. But now you're going to miss key Premier League games.
And that's a lot.
So for someone who, of course, as I said, is, of course, contract, you just feel like, let him go. So I don't think it's deliberate for many of the managers. For Arteta, the profile of the players he needs, he has been chasing Zubimendi from last season. He has been chasing, you know, a CF, of course. We talked about Sesko.
Sesko.
Isak, yeah.
Isak, yeah.
But, you know, the Joker they just came on. So, the profile of the players he was looking for was not African players. Because I knew fully well that he would want African. Because this season, I think, is the great season. Because if he doesn't win, all these Arsenal fans are jumping around. If he doesn't win anything this season,
they will.
What's the least trophy he can win?
I think it's the Premier League.
Premier League. So even if he wins the cups, doesn't count to you.
It doesn't count.
Wow.
He must not even win the Carabao Cup.
Ah, Kilede.
About you?
He's never won it before now.
No. See, for the investment of over 6 years, over £1 billion spent, you know, they will chase what the director because of you.
True.
So now come and tell me you want to win Carabao Cup. Arsenal fans are happy now. You know, they're winning games. If they fail to win anything tangible at the end of the season,
they will change it.
Do you think, with the way Arsenal is playing, we are seeing their players showing what they can do. I know everyone's keep talking about Ethan Nwaneri. And from a Nigerian point of view, is it possible remotely that Nigeria can ever get that sort of player?
So it's very difficult. Very, very difficult. Because I think he's in the fold of Eze. You know, it's a very creative young boy. He plays well as well. And the position he's going to play for England, I think he can enter that position because he's still 18 years. So for that position now, because he's not going to play the Saka, the Copama area, But that position now that he's playing, the Odegaard number 8, I think there's a space for that. And by 22, that will be like 5 years. So even the AZ of this world will be going out.
Yeah.
So by 22, you'll make a better decision to play in the national team. Talking about the Three Lions. I don't think, because fortunately for him, there's a space in that team. If he's going to be the Nketiah of this world, he cannot break into any fold. There's lots of best, you know, good strikers in England, better than in Nketiah. So he has to let me go to Ghana. All this while I was saying, I'm thinking about it, you know, he's not thinking about it.
He's not thinking about anything. Yeah. He's not going to play nothing. Yeah.
Because there's no space in that. But for in one area, I think there's a space in that whole number 8. And while playing for Arsenal, I think he has a better chance of playing for the Three Lions than the Super Eagles.
You know, before we leave this Arsenal conversation, I just want...
Maybe we go and rent Amadou Pinnick.
And bring him back. Come back to the father.
Of course, you know... I want
to expand the question a bit further and ask you about what the coach of Ghana, what did he say again? He said...
Otuado.
Yes, Otuado. He spoke about the situation and he mentioned Eddie Ketia. I think Alan Watson Odoi. Players who don't commit to the cause from the beginning, should we open doors to them? And this is speaking from a national point of view, from a national team point of view, Super Eagles of Nigeria. Should we open doors? Because Otuado is saying, nah, you didn't play for us. You're not here with us. And I remember there was a period when Samson Seyasia spoke about something similar, right? But this was to a player who has actually featured for Nigeria. Like I mentioned, Mikel Obi. That, oh, Obi, we told you the last time you didn't show up. But now you have to show up. And he says, remember 2016, he showed up, played. What do you make of that sentence? Is that something that we should emulate as a coach, as a team? Or is it just, look, it's because it's Nketiah and Hudson Odoi. If it was somebody else, he would have quickly said, yes, come in.
Well, it's a very dicey, you know, situation, very tricky one, because when it comes to quality, you know, if the player is quality enough, I don't think any manager would want to reject. Either he choose you second or choose you first. You always want to absorb that kind of player. For Nketiah, it's a different story because Ghana has been on his necks, you know, went to his parents. And at that time, he was having difficulty at Arsenal. And he just moved to Crystal Palace. So he needed time to settle. So I can tilt to his mental, side of things. Like, let me settle before I pick who I'm going to play for. But I don't think any manager, you know, national team-wise, can reject any good player. For us, I don't think if, you know, Eze is open and says, I want to play for the Super Eagles, you say no. Because our midfield is in shambles. It's like desert. There's nothing in the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
So if Eze, like just for instance, say he wants to play, Eric Chelo, NFL president, will not come out and say, we'll not accept. We go bonding. So I think based on quality, I think it's, you know, you don't have a choice. But if it's a second thought from the player who is not quality enough, you have better players in the national team, I don't think we should run to them. But if it's quality, Baba, just bring him. Once he can play for the team, bring him.
Last question for me from the national team before we go to club football, Nigeria. I'm going to have to touch on the Victor Osimhen situation, right? I can't dodge it. There's a story already about Osimhen going on to become the greatest Nigerian striker.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Well, I think in terms of goal scoring, I think he's going to elevate, he's going to, you know, surpass the legendary Rashidi Yekini. But he has to win trophies. Because the guys, yeah, you want to score more goals than have won trophies for the Super Eagles. So I think if he wins the AFCON, if he qualifies the Super Eagles, because now he's like the most effective player of the Super Eagles. All through the qualifiers, anytime he's not playing, anytime he was substituted, it was a problem. And then we've seen the impact on the Super Eagles. So if you go on to win the AFCON, any of the AFCONs, not this December, and qualify for the World Cup. So that means you've clicked all the boxes of the legends. The legend we are talking about won the AFCON, qualified for the World Cup. They didn't do well in the World Cup. You know, second round, we don't come out. So if you do that sort of level with your impact on the team, you know, scoring more goals than the legend, I can see, of course, clearly. But being the highest goal scorer without no trophy in the bag, of course, there will be question and there will be debate. But if he wins the trophy, if you qualify Nigeria for the World Cup, you know, more goals than Rashidi Yekini, where's the argument?
We agree on this one. We agree.
Yeah, I think I agree with what Pooja just said. And it was also what we spoke about last week when you, spoke, asked Israel about it. If he gets us the trophy, give us an AFCON. Better still, make it two. Because Yakini would have won us two if we went for 1996. So give us two.
I think he has to top it up by being top scorer as well. And just to top it up, maybe, spice. Something to just spice it up.
I don't really think, because I feel Victor plays for the nation. Victor does not play for himself. Like the last AFCON that we were at, it was not really particular about scoring.
Well, Yakini was playing for me.
No, Yakini was going to score, right? But
Yakini was top scorer not compulsory.
It's not compulsory.
Yakini was scoring, I think, two AFCONs. I think he was top scorer for two AFCONs or three. I stand to be corrected, but two or three AFCONs.
So the last AFCON, right? Victor was more interested in getting
the team.
He gave most of the goals, most of the assists for Ademola Lookman, Victor gave it to him.
Isn't that a problem of our team? That when you have a striker, when I use Haaland as an example, Haaland keeps scoring for Manchester City. He scores for Norway too.
Yeah.
Right? Club and country is doing it. Mm-hmm. We have Osimhen. And I don't see a problem with it. If this guy can score, let him score. When people say, Ole Osimhen, I'm like, look, what you have, Poland has only Lewandowski.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody else will score but Lewandowski.
Yeah.
Carry the ball and give to him, let him score. So why are we complaining about who we've got? Or people are saying, if not, Osimhen is not there, we won't play. Hey, that's fine. Till we get to that problem.
It's
not the problem, he's there. Let him go and score. Give him the ball. So why is he playing for, why am I playing for Pooja and Kelvin? When Pooja and Kelvin are supposed to play for me?
I think the problem is our midfield. Like you spoke about the midfield, we don't have, you look at every time we go for any competition, even if it's a friendly qualifier, you look at the number of midfielders we have. So aside from the number of midfielders, you look at the position they play. They play the number six role.
Yeah.
And name them from Frank Onyeka, Rafael Onyedika, Wilfred Ndidi, Halasan Yusuf, even Joe Aribo. There is no natural midfielder there. They are all defensive midfielders. So we don't have a player that can feed Osimhen properly. Even Alex will be struggles in that position. If we had a player that was better, maybe a player in the that would have done better, because Osimhen would just need to sit, just send him the ball. They know Osimhen is going to run. We saw the interview. You did the interview with Daisy when Daisy said if he was playing with Osimhen.
Everybody go talk him now.
So you know that this guy is a bull and he's going
shades,
to run this
no
way.
Shades on Ifeanyi Udeze. He's a great individual. But I'm saying everybody now will see it.
Yeah, because
do you know what will happen if Emmanuel Amunike played between Osimhen?
Oh,
he'll just keep whipping those crosses.
Yeah, and I think against the Republic there was a clear instruction to the wingers,
mm-hmm.
even to Chukwueze, just load the ball to
Osimhen.
And we saw
what happened
before. I've not in recent time. I've not seen Chukwueze play that level of football in terms of creating chances.
Yeah.
Even Samuel Moses, he always caught and joined, you know.
I want, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. ball.
And again, you know, people were saying it was a blessing in disguise that Lookman, you know,
wasn't around.
But if we were in that game, I think it would be a clear instruction to even Lookman. All those penetrative,
cross ball.
Just load the ball. And those guys loaded the ball, got theirs. Even for now, they're happy, you know. Two assists is not a bad thing, because before then, Samosa have played almost 3 years.
Yeah.
For the Super Eagles.
3 years, three assists.
Wow.
Before that game. In just one game, two assists.
Wow. So that's amazing.
Just load us.
Going forward, just load the ball.
I don't know
why they're not loading. Load the ball.
AFCON will tell. But do you think we can win the World Cup qualifiers? The one in
November.
In November.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is harder, that one or the next one?
No, this one is harder.
Why do you say that?
Because it's African football. And it's going to be like a tug of war. If you get to the final, maybe you play against
Cameroon.
That's big rivalry in African football. But what I've said before the Benin Republic game, I wasn't even expecting us to even qualify for the playoff. I was just like, okay, fine. They've written these guys out, off. You people are not going to blah blah blah. But if you show the intent, show the mentality, Nigerians will feel like this. They show that mentality, and that was what we saw against the Republic. If you go with that mindset that we needed to win, and we needed to win well against any team in Africa, going to that playoff, we are going to crash. And why we go over there, Honduras, Bolivia, they're not playing in Brazil, they're not playing at time, they're playing on open ground.
Yeah,
and
in Mexico.
And if that mentality is there, I don't think you know, nobody can. If you look, the new FIBA ranking, we are the most ranked team.
That's good news.
We are not going to go to the last one with two games. We're going to go straight to the final. Play the final after all. It's just like the old
Club World Cup. Yeah.
So if you win in Africa, just one game,
you're
going to be in USA.
Let's talk about club football, Pooja. That's something you covered very well.
That's something he does. Yes. He's an administrator.
Only you. You know, are you planning to write a book sometime in your life?
Of course, I would.
You'll write the true story. No sugarcoat it.
True story now.
Just give it to us like that. Too, because some things that you will not even see in this podcast, you put it in that book.
Oh, of course it will.
Because the things that your eyes have seen, I'm sure even your mouth cannot tell you everything. Well, I know you were all in Abeokuta at the weekend.
Yeah.
We saw Red Monsters. Me, I went to watch as an observer. And then you people went to cover it. And then me, I went to watch as an observer.
To get content.
And what I saw, the result was embarrassing, but it was expected, right? I cannot expect my child who did not go to Harvard to best a Harvard child. One, because, let me use a good example. I went to the University of Lagos, right, for my undergraduate. And this was after I'd gone to LASU. And I'm not comparing both schools, but the difference was very clear. I went into LASU and I realized that the difference between the lag is miles apart. So I just dropped out of one school. I went to the other one immediately. So it's the same thing. Red Monsters and Mamelodi Sundowns are not mates.
Yeah.
Not mates in anything, right? Anything, including the fact that one went to the Club World Cup recently and got $10 million. So it was inevitable, but we did not expect that margin. What's your take? What would you explain as the reason why Remo chopped the number of goals they chop at home?
You know, so that game, I actually, you know, I had a game in Lagos.
I
saw the tweet.
So I told my chairman, I said, I want to see, you know, I don't want ESA. I want to go and see the level of this team. Give me the permission to go and see so that I'll have first-hand, you know, analysis on it. And from the little details, from the bus that took the guys to the stadium, I knew that we're not ready. Because, you know, I've worked with so many doctors, you know, football doctors. And what they always say is the little details matters in football. Before that game, they came with a luxurious bus.
Mm-hmm.
They have a relaxed leg.
Yeah.
Well stretched.
Yeah. Red Monsters came with a coaster board. Because they
bend. Yeah,
so if it's two minutes, you don't know what 2 minutes can do in football. We have seen a team that scored 2 goals in 2 minutes. And again, people always say, because Rebel Stars know the weather, blah, blah, blah. No. When there was the water break, what did they do?
They had towels.
There was towels and
they put on their neck.
Cold towel put on their neck. And against the Rebel Stars, they just on their head. But if you have a dread, it cannot penetrate. So after the water break, that 1 minute, two minutes of cooling, who's going to be better?
Obviously, Mamelodi Sundowns.
And again, the level of competition against Remo Stars in the league, look at the team.
But last year, if I remember clearly, your club was also aspiring to qualify for the continent. So if they had qualified for the continent, what would they have done?
Number one is to chop the money first. Qualification is $50,000, Baba, for a small, modest, competitive club. We don't chop in their food now.
But that means I go chop on too.
Yeah, just go now. Go play your game.
I don't think right now we can match up with those players. You know, the chairman of Remus have said something very clearly, and he said, your best players leave the season after.
Yeah.
Let me just give you an example. Last season, they won the league, and four of their best players, have moved to other clubs. Let me list it for you. Their captain, Ndoka Junior, moved to Iraq.
Oof.
That's the captain of Chan team.
Oof. Said, oof. The best, he's getting paid.
The best DM in the league when they won the league, Fatoko, went to Sudan. We have the best right back, Ismail Sadiq.
Yeah.
He moved. We have Alimi
Sikiru.
The season before, they were even able to even tie him down.
Yeah.
Because the highest scorer, they tie him down this time. They say, Baba, no go. It was a striker for the chanting. He's lying.
Forgot the goalkeeper.
Yeah, Algeria. Their best goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Now in South Africa, TS Galaxy. So the chunk of the team that won the league have moved. That's the best that they call. So your best, the best in Nigeria in the league league champion, lost 5 key players. And you want to compete with a team with national team players.
A team that buys players from other countries.
They have
outside
they,
of Africa,
from Mexico.
For you to buy North African players to your team, they have like 5 or 6 to your team. That means you are not paying less than $30,000.
A month.
Calculate that with the whole team. The highest paid in Remo cannot be more than 800K. And the only, let's say scavenging we can do is to go for the West African teams. Obasa from Benin Republic.
Yeah.
It's not even the first choice goalkeeper.
Yeah, he's not.
The second choice or the third choice.
Imagine if he was one that kept against Osimhen. He would have been in trouble.
Loading.
He would have been in trouble.
He may even be, you know,
he may be 6 or 8. Yes.
So the best players. So if that can happen to the best team in the league, mm-hmm. what will happen to? And again, let me say this again. The level of competition in the league cannot make you match up with the level of competition in other teams.
But you guys were part of the people who tried to also promote the idea of the league. So this is a positive. Yeah. And some also clamored that, maybe not you, but a few people clamored that some of these MPFL players should be introduced to the Super Eagles.
So this is how it works. So they went to the Unity Cup, kind of influx of MPFA players. And I'm not a party to quota system. No.
Okay.
If you're good enough, you're good. If the manager sees that you're good, call you, you can play. I don't have a problem with it. I'm not saying, anybody must go. No. If there's a particular player in the league that is doing well than maybe the counterpart outside the country, he can be invited. It's not a must. If there's no player at this particular point in time, not good enough for the national team, don't call him. So, I mean, it's not about fun for me. When we had our captain in the Kurodi City, Waliu, he was scoring.
Yeah.
He has like 12 assists. That's a good number for a right back. So, if he goes to the national team and he plays well, when Sadiq was playing under Fadeli George, the season before then, he had over 15 assists.
So, yeah.
Ordinarily, you can sit down and argue that fact. But it's not that just call anybody. Because right now, I don't think nobody in the team, in the whole
MPFL.
MPFL is worth it because they went to Chan and they were disgraced.
Mm.
So I don't think right now we have anybody because the best players now have left the MPFL.
As well as just zero in finally from the national team because of time we're pressed for. Super Eagles player. I remember I mentioned it to Kelvin the last time we were here. When Gareth Southgate took over the Toure Lions, that's England national team, there was a disconnect between the fans and the players. And that sort of, he came in and said, you know what, that's the first thing he wants to bridge. He wants to look for a way to create an avenue to be able to, the players and the fans can meet somewhere in the middle, right? And then communicate. For Nigeria, it seems as if the gap continues to grow wider every day. Yeah. The players are going further away. I'm not going to take time to call anybody out because we know when we watch the Super League, with the exception of Truste Konk, who goes for press conferences, who's organizing charity matches, who's going for interviews here, there, and everywhere. You don't find any other Super Eagles player doing any of this thing. How do we solve this problem? How do, beyond social media where somebody puts out a post or put out a content, how do I know the state of mind of a footballer? Because they are human beings as well. They're like you and I. They go through the same emotions, go through the same rage, go through everything. But how do we understand them to be better, appreciate them? That's the word, is appreciate them.
Well, I think, you know, number one, there should be, the NFL have to help, you know, journalists and industry. And maybe Swan is not as effective as before, but I think NFL can, you know, help the journalists. Because now we have lots of influencers, content creators around footballers. And those are not the content you want to see or foreign media want to see outside. So if you bridge the gap and, you know, there's a proper way of identification for journalists, you know that your content is going on this particular platform, I think there's a way that the players will be relaxed enough. If a content creator moves closer to a footballer, he knows what he's coming to do. He's coming for that traction and engagement and conversion. So you could be receptive and say, I don't want to do. But if there's a proper channel, the last media party, I saw BBC. And I saw players give them the audience. But because it's too saturated with content creators, influencers, which is good for the media, but there's a proper way to do it. If you look at the Toure Lions, if you look at their training session, you know the people, you don't see influx of
content creators. They have a team.
They have more podcasts than the Nigerians.
Yeah.
The English people.
Yeah.
So, and they will have a way to, you know, to
sieve through all the people. Yeah.
So if you look at the training, you don't have lots of people in the training. You can't even do that even in half of FIFA tournaments. You have to be your accreditation. You have to be accredited to be at the pitch side. Not everybody must be at the pitch side. So if you're a content creator, you must not be at the pitch side. It's not done anywhere in the world, internationally. So if we break that thing down, because at the end, because the content creator is closer, he can take any picture, any video
and put out.
And when he started getting that negative traction, the players feel like, no. Because I don't see why, after we qualify for the Benin game, for the playoff, I don't see why we didn't have enough players coming out to say, yes, this time we're going to do it for the Super Eagles. There was no content on that again, except from the press conference. So if there was no press conference, that means we wouldn't have other players talking about how they feel, how they are, you know, maybe reassuring Nigerians of the playoff. So I think they never have to help. I think maybe that team, the communication team of NFF, have to sieve out the real content creators. They have to be somewhere. Let me give you an example. So if you go to a Calf of Fire tournament, as a photojournalist, I don't have access to the press conference. Because they tell me that the guys on the media tribune don't have access
to the pitch side.
They won't give you mix zone. If they give you mix zone, it will be irregular. They will mix it up for you. So if you're a content creator, you don't have, because even that content creating that you believe you are doing is even licensed in international games. So you can't put up even your phone at the pitch side. They will send you or they collect your accreditation. So if you have a proper way in Nigeria, and if you do it, people feel like, it's Puja that is saying it. No, that's how it's done internationally. And we want to, you know, work with the global practices. So if the NFF and the media team of the NFF, please try for us. There's a way that the players will get closer to us and will get content that's even good for the team and the image of the national team.
All right, before we go, I'm going to ask you a personal question, Puja. This is not about anything that has to do with your family. It's something that has to do with football. What's the craziest game you've covered? And it could be crazy for whatever reason. Crazy because rain was too much. Crazy because the fans were screaming at you. But what was the craziest game? Local or international? Mention. We're good.
I think too. I'll do local. And the local is because, you know, it's fans wanted and it can take my life. So it's against Osun United against Kuru City.
Yeah, I remember that one.
When we were in the NNL. Mm-hmm. So I went to cover, you know. And you know, when fans see a kind of gadget, they're always intimidated. This national journalist don't come. And they want to use Ojoro normally. And after the game, we drew the game. And they feel like, this Ikorodu City, that's our first season in the NNL. You come to our town, and they weren't playing at the Osun National Center or whatever. Mm-hmm. They played inside the OAU. And even though because
they carry camera the road.
the video
is everywhere.
I need to go look for that video.
Almost tore down the barbed wire.
Wow.
And the run, if you see the
Kelvin, whatever we do, we must add that video to this content. We must create a small window.
I think it's on Twitter.
Just tap my start button, just I'll show you.
Okay.
He chased me to the point that and you know when he almost cost my life, but of course.
We thank God.
Part of the game.
Kelvin too has his own experience.
I have my own experience.
He don't just laugh.
I think the best one for me was.
Slap,
I collect their money now.
You can't jump for jumps.
Yeah, I collect their money. They said I also
drink. Don't slap
Puja,
you.
Puja thought I drink NSC that time.
You drink
back
that
then.
Day. You drink.
You drink NSC.
You drink.
Puja and Wale are the group.
I didn't do PR.
You did PR.
You slap.
These guys.
You drink that.
So it was flogged. Them, but I think the best for me was when I went with the Nigerian under 16 team to Cape Verde. I think it was one.
Was it the sports or was it the ambience?
I think it was not the sport for me. It was the fact that Kevin, I saw for the first time in my life, I saw 3 weeks of seeing beautiful people every day.
Kevin, where could they go? Where could they go? Nice. Don't go cap wrong. Where could they go? Must say big thanks to Puja for coming through today.
Thanks for having me.
It's not every day you see a masquerade outside. So today we brought one out. We had to milk everything from it. Hopefully, when you cover the Super Eagles, we'll qualify.
Amen.
Because Kevin should not be there. Kevin should not be there.
I have to be in Canada next year for the Super Eagles.
All right, so big thanks to you as well for joining us. Big thanks to Pooja and Kelvin and Femi. We'll catch you next time for another Beyond the Playbook.